Yes. Thank you very, very much. You know, right now we're in a season that is, it's a trying season in many ways. And I think that this Torah portion, you know, we talk about it being of His holiness. And it definitely is. And that can make us kind of somber in a way. It's a time that you can sit. Yeah, we've just finished a bunch of prayer, so I wasn't going to open in prayer. But I think it's a time that we're reflecting and we're thinking about so many things. But I named this one, let's see if I can get it there. Isaiah 54, there is joy. And I think that in the Haftorah, well, in the Torah portion, we're talking about how holy He is, and we're talking about rules and regulations. Those are for us to have happiness and joy in our lives. But Isaiah 54 is, it's another story that just goes to the heart of what that joy is, I think. Let me get to that. So this portion begins with telling a barren woman to burst into song and shout for joy. She's told she'll have more children than the married woman. That doesn't seem to make sense. She needs to enlarge the place of her dwelling, to spread out to the right and to the left, told not to be afraid, not to be discouraged. She's told she will forget the shame of her youth. But how can that possibly be? In a society that places so much emphasis on getting married, on having children, it's like, that's what you're supposed to do. What happens with, you know, in a society where women are often valued for just producing children or being the cook and being the person who cleans? It goes on to tell this barren woman, not only she'll forget the shame of being barren, but her husband is actually her maker, the Holy One of Israel. That's joy. She is told he will never be angry with her again and will never hide his face. She will always have his compassion, his grace, his peace, unconditional love. And I put the big wow. Is there any better promise? I don't think so. So I did have trouble approaching this one. I didn't know how to do this. Usually I come in here and I'm like, well, this Hebrew word means this and this and blah, blah, blah. But this one is really personal for me. And hopefully I won't cry. So I'm going to do some self-disclosure. And since pretty much everyone knows, I've never been married, never have had a child. And it's caused a lot of shame in my life and a lot of deep hurt. You just, you know, you get discouraged. It's like, what is wrong with me? So I wasn't always supersized, but I know many people that are happily married, so it isn't that. But then you're left with, okay, what is wrong with me? What else is there? Why do women or men love me as a friend, but they don't fall in love with me? So our society here continues to a large extent to put that emphasis that women aren't complete unless they get married and have children. There are some places in the New Testament that say if you're single, stay that way. But those of us who don't have that happen and are left struggling to find our identity outside of that and find a different role, you know, we're just kind of out there. So it's not always easy, and it is often painful. We fight that there's not a knight in shining armor that's going to come and snatch us up. We aren't going to share our lives with a mate. We're not going to know the miracle of giving birth. We can witness it with other people, but we're not going to actually know it for ourselves. It can be a lot to deal with, and it's also a breeding ground for the enemy. It can bring a lot of different things in. So for years, I found myself struggling with thoughts that weren't from God about who I was and what my purpose was. But then He led me to Isaiah 54 and made it really personal for me. A night I was deep in prayer, that's where He took me. And it's been a source for me ever since. So without a doubt, he let me know there wasn't something wrong with me. I was set aside for his purposes. He's a husband to the single person in a way that's unique and special in a different way. And I said, I don't need to be defined by traditional roles. I have a husband that's more special than any man, and I don't mean an offense to any men here. But I have every reason to rejoice, to sing, to shout for joy. He had a plan for me that didn't include the traditional. Who am I to say he got that wrong? I need to embrace what he has put me in. So it's good to marry when God arranges it, and it's good to remain single if God ordains that for you. He knows best what relationships we need and what we don't need to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. His love is enduring, and he accepts me and each of us in spite of our failings, and he will never leave or abandon us. I don't think we can ask for anything more than that. But enough of my personal journey. The significance of this portion extends beyond a single person. When Isaiah was beginning his ministry, things were pretty peaceful. But the peace didn't last. Under King Ahaz, Assyria became a superpower and deported Israel in 722 BC. Ahaz saw Syria and Israel as threats. And even though Isaiah tried to convince the king to have faith in God, he wasn't going to go there. Then under Hezekiah's reign, Assyria ravaged the Judean countryside, and Jerusalem almost fell at that time, and we know it later did. And we know that even though Israel eventually returned to the land from the exiles, Israel and Jerusalem still don't truly have peace or the type of prosperity that God promised. Many remain in rebellion and have turned from Torah. Much of Israel is secular, and the descendants of Arab tribes that they were told to abolish are flourishing in the land. But Isaiah was a prophet who saw deeply into the future. He recognized the true nature of the God of Israel. He's not a God who's without mercy or compassion. He's a God who can't resist loving us when we repent and turn back to him. Amen. It's his nature to fulfill every promise that he made to us. The portion tells of a time when I believe is still coming, but that's beginning even now. The bride is being readied for her husband. Who are these children that are more than those of the married woman? Why so much space needed to house them? I think we only have to look to the right and to the left, right where you're sitting. Israel is destined to include far more than the native branches. The promise is that it will expand greatly, and we're the beginning of that expansion. Natural branches are waking up, and they are producing fruit. And we, as the wild branches, we're being grafted in to produce phenomenal growth and even more fruit. There's a new birth all over the world. We're now included in God's kingdom. We're part of Israel. And Isaiah saw that way back then. It wasn't for the time that Yeshua walked the earth. That started it. But the growth wasn't great at that time. Isaiah was gifted to see so far into the future to bring encouragement to the people that no matter what, God will never abandon them or us. But also there is a time coming when every promise will be fulfilled and there won't be any distance between us and God. There will be full restoration of fellowship with his love, his kindness, his mercy, and his compassion forever. He is our husband. He will take us back. He's never going to turn his face from us again. And we can rest in that. We can hope in that and wake up each day knowing in our hearts that this is the ultimate truth and there is joy.